Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To the left circle. Now cuts his way to the net. Takes a shot. Scores! Justin Kirkland, the Winnipeg native for the Flames. He's got the puck to the circle on the left wing side. Lukanen tracks him. Saved by Lukanen. Sabres win it in a shootout.
Double highlight there for you. Game-winning goal. Game-winning save. Paterka in the shootout. And Lukanen ends it as the Sabres win it. 3-2, our goal of the game from Paterka, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. And that save from Lukanen, it's our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. Sabres figure out a way to get it done, a shootout victory. Lukanen was outstanding, Pat, in the shootout. They needed it. They only scored once. Paterka, from a tough angle, gets the goal that wins it.
Yeah, and before that, you've got the 4-on-3 power play for Calgary with a minute 20 to go in the extra session. And the Sabres did a really good job of not allowing the Flames to really get a bunch of quality good looks. They had opportunities, but the Sabres did a really nice job. And part of that was Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Now, at the end of the game, Calgary ends up with seven more shots through that 65 minutes, and Luukkonen had to be sharp, especially late in the contest.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Sabres came out really strong. I thought their best period was the first. I thought okay in the second. Calgary, I thought, was better in the third. They obviously put on some pressure. The Sabres had trouble getting shots through for most of the game, Pat. They only finished with 19.
Yeah.
That's including with five extra minutes to play.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think the Sabres only had one shot, and if that in the overtime, two shots.
Yeah.
One of them was a Tage Thompson backhand, which was just kind of thrown at the net to help them make a line change. So really no real chances in that overtime. But again, it was Luukkonen making some saves when they needed them. That second goal, there's a loose puck that Backlund's able to put towards the far post and score. So, credit to Luukkonen for making some saves when the Sabres need them, and the Flames play with urgency. After the second, we talked about it.
Yeah.
All they had to do was win a period, and they could win the game. Well, they get one point and help against an Eastern Conference team at least gain a point.
Yeah, we will update you on the standings here in just a moment. I'm looking forward to seeing where they have moved up as Buffalo gets their 15th point of the season now, 7-7-1. And, boy, what a 3 weeks here. Three straight wins, three straight losses, back to three straight wins.
Yeah, and an opportunity on Monday afternoon against a Montreal Canadiens team that has not been playing all that well this year to get their first four-game winning streak. So, yeah, it's been an up-and-down couple of weeks for the Sabres, but they're playing really well right now. They've had a lot of balance, and on a day where maybe the offense wasn't scoring at the clip that they had previously, it's the goaltending that makes up for it. When there are times where the Sabres will score six and win 6-4, because they need to help out their goaltending a little bit. Well, today it's the opposite.
Today felt, Pat, like a game that last year they would let slip. Mm-hmm. And even though it even went to OT, like, that's a game where you feel like, well, Calgary scores in overtime. Calgary wins in the shootout. Like, that's how that played out last year. They did not finish strong. It trended amazing to start, and it kind of trended more downhill as the game went on. But they figured out a way, probably beyond the actual shootout where we can credit Lukanen tremendously there. The penalty kill, it felt like it was going to be over right there. And for a minute 20, those penalty killers out there did a really nice job.
Yeah, there was one play where I can't remember which defender it was, but broke his stick. It might have been Connor Clifton.
Yes.
His stick breaks. He goes into the corner, makes sure that he pins the puck against the boards, and then the Sabres are able to clear. He gets off. Byram replaces him on the ice, and it's an opportunity for the Sabres to kind of just get a couple of seconds to breathe and allows them to regroup a little bit. So those penalty killers did a really good job in front of Lukanen to really force the Flames into some bad looks.
Yeah, Greenway was the forward kind of up top doing a lot of – they didn't get that cross-ice pass that a lot of times you see that in overtime where there's so much ice, so much space, and the goalie just has no chance because they get the quick bang-bang tapping or the one-timer. He did a nice job clearing that all out, and the Sabres overcome that too many men on the ice call. All right, Paterka gets the game winner in the shootout. He's up first, live with Paul Hamilton.
Thanks, Brian. JJ, take us through your shootout goal, if you would. What were you thinking coming in?
Yeah, just coming from the left side, kind of like watching the goalie before. Yeah, big goalie, so 5-0 is always a good option.
I was going to say, did you do a scouting thing knowing that maybe the 5-0 would have been there, or is it just, as you said, it's a good option with any goaltender?
No, I think that's good. With going second, you kind of like can watch the goalie, how he plays it, and I felt like that's a move I'm going to hit him with.
What happened in the third? It seemed like you guys lost a little bit of energy in the third period.
Yeah, I think we play a little too complicated. Wanted to be maybe a little bit too pretty. Yeah, just gave up way too many chances.
Now, on the other side of the coin, you had a lot of chances. A lot of them went wide or hit posts, but in the first and second period, it seems like you guys did create a lot of chances.
100%. I think we came out of the locker room flying. I think we had a really good first period. And yeah, I don't know what really happened. We kind of like started trading off chances, but at the end of the day, we got the win.
What does it do for you guys as a group, the way that Uko's been playing, you know, during this stretch here?
I mean, really, really important. I think also today the saves he made, even in overtime when we were shorthanded, and not only Upi, every player just yeah. Yeah, threw themselves in the shooting line and blocking shots. So I think just a hell of a job from everyone sacrificing their body.
You guys had to really enjoy on the bench watching that penalty kill to the way they executed it there at the end of the game.
Yeah, I think we're just good in the lanes. I think the guys who are on the ice played it really well and made it really hard for them.
I'm sure you've done plenty of shootouts with Upi in practice. What makes him tough in that area of the game?
Well, he's just so calm, I think. He just reads the play so well, so I have a way tougher time going against Upi in practice than probably in the game.
Thanks, JJ. JJ Paterka, Brian, back to you.
All right, Paterka gets the game winner in the shootout. He was the only one to score on the six attempts. Thompson hit the post, and Tuck was stopped. Those were the Buffalo goals, or the goal attempts, and then all three Flames attempts, all clean saves by Lukanen. He did a really nice job there.
And you hear it from J.J. Paterka, that calmness in the goal. Maybe one of the reasons why Lukanen able to make those saves and force the Flames into not being able to get a goal there.
24 shots for Lukanen in regulation in the overtime and 3-for-3 in the shootout. Speaking of Lukanen, here's he up now with Paul.
Uko, you had to be sharp in the third period, especially. It seemed like you guys lost a little bit of energy in the third period, but still were able to find a way to win the hockey game.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, get the 2 points out of it. I think that was a little bit not perfect from our kind of point. We kind of got a little bit of scramble in the third. We just, kind of gave the game to them, even though I think we did all right job with defense. I think we kind of... we didn't have the same confidence as in the first two periods, but in the end, all that matters is to get the 2 points.
Many coaches will say your goaltender is your best penalty killer. The penalty kill there in overtime. The three guys in front of you did a good job, but you had to make some saves too. Take me through that penalty kill, if you would.
Yeah, I think that's hard for everybody. The 4-on-3 1, 5-on-3, it's almost easier to say what's going on. You just kind of go in a triangle and stand there, but. The 4-on-3, it's kind of something that rarely happens, and it's hard to play against. But you know, I think that's mostly, you know, our penalty kill has been awesome. The guys have been playing great in front of me, making blocks, you know, kind of just playing hard and, you know, not giving much. And I feel like, you know, they made it easy for me to make the saves that needed to. And, you know, it was, I think, good penalty killing today.
Well, I know, make the save. But what is your strategy when you get into a shootout? This first one you've had all year, it took you a month and a half to get there. But what is your strategy when you're up against it in a shootout?
I think just try to, you know, outweigh the guy. You know, make most out of the 6-5 frame I have and just try to, you know, keep calm, keep, you know, them guessing, I would say. You know, kind of try to read what their approach to it is and not, you know, give away too much in it, and it worked out today.
What does it mean to you to have the consistency in your game that you've had since the start?
It's good. I feel like just I talk about it a lot that I want to be part of the solution here. I want to be part of the, you know, one of the parts that can help the team win. And, you know, lately it's been like that, and, you know, I want to keep it going.
Ugo, you guys have gone 3 losses, 3 wins, 3 losses, 3 wins. You're finding your game again. Well, what does it take to just keep pushing forward and keep collecting these wins the way you guys are playing now?
I think it just kind of, you know, I think that's the most important thing almost right now is to find a kind of the level of game we need to play. You know, not every game is going to be perfect, but just kind of find a way to battle through those games that, you know, we don't feel as comfortable as we want to or as good as we want to. But, you know, as a good team, you need to kind of push through those games too. You know, there's going to be a lot of different, you know, opponents in this league. You know, teams play different ways, so you have to be able to trust your own game, and I think last 3 games we have been doing that.
Do you feel like you kind of found a groove like you had the second half of last season? Do you feel like that again? Are you at that level yet, in your opinion?
No, 100%. I feel like mostly, I think, as a team, we've been playing really good hockey. That helps me, of course, and I always talk about how it's nice to, you know, play a lot of games. I think that's been paying off for me too, to, you know, kind of being able to take what I learned end of last season and kind of take it to, you know, this season too. And just overall, I feel like, you know, the confidence is high in our game, and I feel like my own confidence in my own game is high too. So it's a good point to be as a goalie.
DJ mentioned your calmness in the shootouts, and you just mentioned it too. How do you find that calm in those moments?
I don't know. I probably help to, you know, we have done that 500 times with JJ already. So, you know, it's something, you know, I don't think was my strong point in any ways before. You know, just doing extra reps, kind of doing a lot of the job with the, you know, goalie coaching in AHL, goalie coaches here, and doing summer. I don't necessarily have practiced shootouts, but I feel like the improvements I have made in my game has been paying off in the shootouts too.
We'll go Pekka Luukkonen, and Tage Thompson is over here, so let's wander on over to Tage. Tage, is that one of those, I mean, you guys played a good first 40 minutes. Last 20, maybe you guys lost some energy, but is that one of those you found a way to win?
Yeah, it wasn't our prettiest game by any means, but found a way to get the job done. Obviously, Oopie right there, and you guys just finished talking to him, had a great game, and keeps us in it. And, you know, power play came up big, get a goal on the power play, and then PK was rock solid all night. So I think you got to tip your cap to the special teams there tonight. I think that gets the job done for us, and obviously Oopie. A little sloppier than we'd like to be, but sometimes you don't have it, and good teams find ways to win, and we did that tonight.
The ability to come back and win this game, win your third straight, how important is that, and how do you now sustain this momentum?
Yeah, I know, it just gives you some confidence. You know, it's nice to see you get rewarded for the process that you put forward. You know, I think there's been games this season we should have won, we didn't get rewarded for it, and sometimes when that happens, it's easy to try something else and look for a different way. And we haven't. We've stuck with you know, with the same idea, the same process, and just kind of believe that it's going to eventually get us results. And that's what's going on.
How has that changed? I mean, what changed in the mindset in that sense?
I think just a commitment from everybody. I think it's easy when things don't go your way to try to do individual stuff out there, you know, myself included. And I think we've learned, obviously, the hard way that you know, you just got to commit to playing the game the right way, and trusting that even when you're not feeling great or things aren't bouncing your way, that if you just stick to what, you know, the game plan is as a five-man unit, you usually frustrate the other team. And for the most part, I think we've been doing a really good job of that.
You mentioned the power play goal. Your first two entries didn't work, and then JJ comes up with speed like he was flying and then put the puck where he could get it, got in the forecheck, and it probably didn't take 10 seconds. You guys had the puck in the net. How big was that, you know, trying the different entry to get it to a place where he could get to it?
Yeah, it's big. Entries are huge, getting set up. You know, obviously, because he wins a face-off clean there, it snaps all the way out of our zone, which is unfortunate. A couple entries, they make a good stand at their blue line and you know, try going up the other side. JJ's got a lot of speed, and we knew pre-scouting that that side was a forward on their side, so a little tougher for them to play defense with the forward and get in on that side and up over one timer, and that was a big goal for us.
Getting him moving like that, was that kind of key where Rasmus could get you the puck and it was an open passing lane and an open shooting lane because they were moving like that?
Yeah, it was a great pass by Dahls, one touching it, no stick handle, just quick puck movement. Had a lot of time to tee it up.
What do you think will be the key to just have consistency, Tage, and keep building off of this, you know, and avoid sort of the, you know, lose a couple in a row type of situation?
I think just controlling our emotions, not getting too high, not getting too low. Obviously, we've done a good job responding when we get down three or whatever. How many when we have losses, we respond pretty well. Now we need to respond well when we have some wins. Kind of goes hand in hand with what I was saying about changing the way you're playing. Sometimes you feel good about your game, you start to try to get a little too cute. So I think it's just going to have to be a mental note that we make every time we're going into games now. You know, when we go into games, making sure that we're just playing the same way, simple hockey, and even when we get up in games. So I think it's just something that mentally we got to make sure everyone's on the same page.
Whether you know it or not, you have a chance to win four straight on Monday for the first time in like 20 months. What would that mean?
I mean, a win is great. I mean, obviously, when stringing some together is huge, but you know, kind of what I just said there is the process is kind of what gets us those results. So we're not really looking at you know, those results and trying to chase those. Obviously, those are the end goal, but it's what's going to get us there. So I think we don't change anything. We just continue to plug along the same way and just kind of continue to grind teams down and. Usually they've been breaking and we get, you know, four or five goals in one period or whatever. So just frustrating teams and making it hard for them.
What's allowed the special teams to really rally here the last few games?
I honestly thought our special teams had been good kind of from the get-go. A little snake bitten, had some good looks. When that happens, it's kind of easy to get frustrated, start to try to make things cuter than they need to be. And I think we've had a lot of good looks that didn't go in. So. Just simplifying, and when we got one, you get a little confidence, and now things are starting to roll for us. So,
the holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sticking with it now.
Thanks, Tage. Tage Thompson on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, that is Tage Thompson, who picked up his 10th goal of the season. He's on pace for 55 this year, and a absolute bullet on the one-timer when Darlene set him up on the power play. Pat, another game with a power play, gets a goal. Another night where the special teams at the end of the night is up. Now, that is another win for them.
Yeah, that was the vintage Tage Thompson, if you will, just a one-time blast at over 90 miles an hour. That's a good sign. What we talk about in pregame, you just felt like as the season went on last year, that shot wasn't necessarily there for Thompson as much. The team's defending against it, certainly, but also just didn't seem like sometimes that shot had the snap the way that it does this year. So another good sign for Thompson and that the special teams is continuing to be on the role that it's on, that it's been on for a couple of weeks now.
Lindy Ruff's live postgame comments coming up here as we get to our final stats. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. We'll start with Thompson, who gets a goal in this one, his 10th of the season. He finishes with 4 shots, 8 shot attempts. He was amongst the team that, Pat, we look at 19 shots total, not impressive. It felt like they were better than 19 shots. I know the third is, kind of recency bias in our head a little, but there were some shifts there in the second period, especially coming off of a power play where it felt like they had control for quite a while, but they were missing the net. There were some shots that got blocked. Some of them, too, they didn't convert necessarily, too. They hit some posts. I think 2 or 3 posts in this game. Those don't count at all.
Right. Yeah. You did feel like the Sabres had way more, especially with the volume of shots they've had recently, with the up-and-down play that they've had. But you're right. Shots finished 26-19 in attempts. Flames, I really didn't feel like they had the better of the play, even though they may end up leading a lot of the categories except for goals, obviously. I didn't feel like the Sabres, outside of, once it got to the third period, the Flames definitely were the better team, but I never felt like the Sabres, were underwater, were in trouble much of those first 2 periods.
Yeah, I would agree. Other individual stats to look at there, beyond Thompson's 4 shots, Rasmus Dahlin had 3, Cousins and Power, and Tuck had 2. In this one, block shots category, Connor Clifton leading the way with 4. In terms of the lineup, they won again. Would you make any changes? The only thought I could have, Dennis Gilbert did find himself in the box 3 times.
That's the thing. Yes. That's what you, if you're looking at, what needs to change. You can't take 3 penalties in a game. So that may open the door for one of the 2 defensemen to come back in. But again, when you win, do you want to upset kind of the way things are right now? I don't, if you're Lindy Ruff, I don't know what you do.
I don't know. I mean, is Gilbert a little more extra jacked up today because he's playing his old team? Maybe. But you know what? The penalties that he took, the first 2 I felt like were just so minor, ticky-tack. And then the 3rd one, he's the one that gets tackled. Ultimately, they, start shoving and all that sort of stuff. So I don't know, But you do find yourself up in the box 3 times at the end of the night. Lindy Ruff, I'm sure, can't be happy about that, especially with how that one resulted in a goal. Okay, Lindy Ruff is live. Let's go downstairs to the media room.
I think when you're trying to play the game real smart and defend and not give too much up, I think we got a little deep in the neutral zone and allowed them in our zone a little bit too easy. But I liked our defending. Tough break on the second goal where JJ goes to get his stick, and that opened up that player to shoot it. But those are the types of games you got to win. They stacked up the neutral zone, made it tough on us. We had, 2 or 3 post crossbar to pull away. Our second power play I thought was awesome. First power play, scored a big goal for us, and then just a kill late.
How big was it that you end up pulling a game out? Like you said, a lot of things went wrong. The goal at the end of the second period, you give up the tying goal, you had the penalty in overtime. A lot of things went against you, and you were able to persevere and pull it out.
Yeah, well, like I said, you got to win those games. Both goals were a little bit on the strange side because you got a wrestling match with a referee that's calling a penalty but, didn't get called. And you look at how we defended that rush. We didn't defend it very well. I thought we had the opportunities to – even though we were, both teams were kind of feeling each other out most of the game, we had our chances to get that 3rd goal, but we didn't get it done.
Do you feel like the group kept its composure, maybe even more so in a game like this than maybe earlier this season? Like the LA game comes to mind to me, that 3rd period.
Yeah, I think, you look at once they tied it, what's really important is getting a point to play the game the right way. And after that is, try to get that 2nd point. I thought, you look at overtime, You know, you don't want to get caught the way we got caught changing. But our killers did a great job. We got a big save out of UPL. And, you know, a huge goal by JJ in the shootout. And then UPL again shut him out.
Paige talked about sticking to the process, something that he says the team's learned the hard way after perhaps spiraling at times in the past. How important has that been?
It's very important. But, you know, I've used the phrase, you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. The game got uncomfortable. And you have to trust how you're playing. You know, you got to come to the puck, you got to make plays. There was a lot of like 50-50 stick battles that I thought went their way, which made it tough on us to get up ice. Some of those were in the defensive zone, some were in the neutral zone. But I thought once we got in our end, you know, we played our system pretty well. Didn't give up the big play. I thought at the start of the second, a couple high-risk plays that led to 2-on-1s that we cleaned up. But throughout most of the game, they stuck to it, and it's a hard win.
The best week here, see the Uka Pekka maybe you expected, the one you kind of, you know, wanted, I guess, last week?
He's played very well. The team play has been better, and his play has been better. He's really made key saves. You look at that overtime save he made for us, that allows you to get the extra point in the game.
You know, I had your reasons it went that way, but Bo ends up over 32 minutes. And here's a guy who's already young, who's already won a Stanley Cup. Just what have you learned, and how much has your faith in him just continued to grow here now that he's with Dallas?
I think you learn stuff about players game in, game out. You know, he's got a good engine. He can play a lot of minutes. He's a great skater. He recovers fast. That's the only way a guy can play that amount of minutes. Thought we had a couple D that, you know, struggled a little bit. So, you know, you give the other guys the extra minutes.
Whether you're aware of it or not, what might it mean to win for this team to win a fourth straight game, something that's not done in 20 months?
When you get on a roll, you want to stay on a roll. You want to find ways to win hockey games. I mean, we're going to play, you know, four games in less than 7 days or whatever it is, or 6 days. It's a tough grind for the team. We've been trying to utilize four lines and six defense, but when you get in this situation and you have a chance to keep rolling, you want to keep it going.
You mentioned on that penalty kill in overtime, the saves you got from Lukanen, but what about the other three guys on the ice? What did you get from them that made that successful?
Well, we got, I know we got a big block out of Clifton. I know that I thought Greenway did an unbelievable job being in the middle and funneling pucks to the outside where they didn't get, that big shot from the middle of the ice, or even like a top-down one-timer. You didn't see any of those. So, you know, those three guys positionally were really sound.
How much do you feel like the penalty kill has helped swing some games for you here during this three-game stretch?
I believe almost every game we've shut the team out penalty killing, we've won. And penalty killing is big. I mean, special teams is a big part. I mean, getting that power play goal was a big thing. But penalty killing can really change momentum in the game. And I think our killers, for the most part, have really been locked into trying to keep the other team off the board.
Lindy, going back, just what can this team do to find more consistency and keep building off this new win streak you guys are back?
I think you just look at the last three games. You look at the Ottawa game, you look at the Ranger game, you look at this game. You got to find different ways to win games. You look at the Ranger game, we were, you know, when we got the right opportunity to score a goal, we put it in the back of the net. You look at this game, we had the opportunity with a power play to go up 2-0. We did. We had one unbelievable power play that could have made it, you know, made it 3-0 at the time. So I think, you know, focus on the things that can continue to help win hockey games, and I think our guys are doing a good job of that.
What was the explanation on the first goal?
He said he didn't have his, the puck went in before he had his arm up.
That is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. His press conference brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. I don't know, Pat, if that all adds up. The referee's hand was, I think, definitely up before the puck went in the net.
looking at one of the reverse angles, it looked like it, again, things that, to the eye test, don't make sense I mean, it's so hard to sometimes just figure out what the officials are thinking in a lot of these moments.
Yeah, if there's a penalty on both teams, as soon as somebody touches the puck, you would think the whistle would be blown. And that skirmish wasn't just like an instant thing.
Right, it lasted.
It lasted. So, I mean, the, quote, intent to blow the whistle or the intent to call a penalty, like, you know, as the NHL loves that rule as well, that was there. And, you know, in case people that are driving home, they didn't hear us during the intermission, the thing I hate about the whole thing more than anything, it drives me crazy, is that the referee gave no explanation in the building to every fan, including us. We're like, hey, okay, tell us why. Is that maybe there's a rule piece here that we'll learn today? Nope. The only explanation we got was the goal counts. Thank you very much. Add that to the list of reasons why I think the NHL officiating is not good. But, again, it could be improved. Just give us a little explanation. Maybe there wasn't one. Maybe he didn't have one.
That could be part of the reason.
All right, we'll take a timeout here. Say goodbye to all of our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on WGR, if you're listening in your car on your way home, we got a lot more postgame coming up. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take when we return. We'll get you some highlights, and we'll update you on the standings, let you know where the Sabres sit after this more 2 points of the standings, the shootout victory. 3-2 over Calgary. Montreal next Monday at 12:30. I'm Brian Colziel. More postgame coming up with Pat and Paul right after this on WGR.
The chip in by Paterka using his speed. He'll be the first one after it. Now they can set it up. Dahlin to the far point. Dylan Cousins joins him now for the top of the right circle. Plays it down to the goal line. Back up top, Dahlin. Thompson with a blast. Oh. Scores! 93.9 miles an hour of TNT, and it's 2-0 Buffalo with a power play goal.
Another power play goal for the Sabres. Thompson, his 10th. That made it a 2-0 Buffalo lead in the first. They go on to win it in a shootout by a score of 3-2. We welcome you back here to KeyBank Center on the postgame. Brian Colziel, Pat Mellicaro. Well, how many games in a row have the Sabres scored on the power play? Well, today against Calgary, 1 of 2. Rangers, 1 of 4. Ottawa, 2 of 4. Detroit, they went 0 of 2, so that breaks up the streak. But then before that, Islanders, 1 of 5. Florida, 1 of 3. Detroit, 1 of 4. What is that, 6 out of 7?
Mm-hmm.
6 out of 7 games they've gotten a power play goal after, obviously, a very, very poor start to the season as the Sabres really, really struggled there for a while. They were ranked dead last in the power play. But if you take it over the last 3 weeks, they're one of the best in the NHL. All right, if you're listening in your car on your way home right now from KeyBank Center, your drive home from the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile, 16,442. The announced attendance here at KeyBank Center, and the Sabres will be back home Monday at 12:30 against Montreal. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame at 12 on Monday right here on WGR. And then, of course, the entire network will kick in at 12:30.
And an opportunity for the Sabres, a very winnable game, if you will, against a team in Montreal. So you still have to play well against them, but should be setting up nicely for the Sabres to have a really good look at winning their fourth straight with that afternoon matchup.
Yeah, something they haven't done in quite a while. All right, let's go down to the media room and get a couple of more thoughts from Paul Hamilton on this one. Paul, go ahead, Paul. Did you have something?
You got to me as I was doing math. They are now 6-for-23 in that space on the power play, which is
that over 25%, right?
26.1%. If I did that correctly. Yeah,
because
they were 1-for-2. That would be 6-for-23.
Pretty nice stretch for sure. They've turned that around, at least in this good play stretch here. And as of this moment, if we look at the standings, the Sabres are wild card number 2. Now, other teams are going to play later tonight, including the Bruins, who they're tied with. But as of this moment, they are wild card number 2, which I'm sure looks nice to the eyes for the team and for Sabre fans that look at the standings page and wherever they might be looking for it. Paul, this is a game that in previous years I was saying to Pat earlier that you'd sit here and say, oh, they were good enough to win today. And, man, they came out so strong, but, you know, they found a way to lose. Well, today we could say, despite them maybe not finishing the game as strong as they would have liked, especially in the third, they found a way to win. And They have their penalty kill to thank for that, and they have their goaltender to thank for that.
Absolutely. I mean, the goaltender in those three wins has been excellent. That penalty kill, you know, for the last, what, minute and 20 or so of overtime. And, you know, not only did they get some big saves, but the other three guys did their jobs too. Blocked a shot, you know, kept the puck kind of where they wanted it to be, made Calgary try to force plays, and they got away with it and were able to, because 4-on-3, you don't normally practice that all that much, and people might say, well, why don't you? They just don't. I don't know why, 11, 13. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that, you know, they don't practice all that much, and, you know, that helps them win the game. They could have lost the game right there and only walked away with 1 point. But even though they had a poor third period, it's not the worst period I've ever seen them play, but it certainly wasn't as good as the first two, and they got outshot by a lot, they still found a way to win a hockey game. And that's what they have to get better at if they want to be a playoff team, is finding a way to win a hockey game when you could say maybe you blew it. You had a 2-0 lead, and then it's 2-2, and now you wind up in overtime. It doesn't matter if you give the Calgary Flames a point. They're not in your conference. So they walk away with a point, who cares?
Right.
Just find a way to get a win.
Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame. All right, Paul, the shootout itself I want to bring up because I thought Lukanen looked in just total command. This is a guy, and he referenced it. I think you probably maybe were the one that even asked the question to him, but he referenced struggling with shootouts in his career. He said he's done a ton of work. He said he and Paterka have done hundreds of reps. He's worked with the goalies here and in the AHL. And, I mean, you wouldn't know it that a year and a half ago, this, you know, you went to a shootout with Lukanen sitting there saying, uh-oh, this is over, in the bad way. He looked in total control. And, you know, you always say on the shootout, like, do you overreact? It's as if it was just kind of ho-hum for him. He was very good.
Remember a year or two ago when he couldn't make a save to save his life on the shootout?
Yeah.
And it was looking like it was going to be a problem? He fixed it. You know, he worked on it. And that's one thing this guy does. You can never say he doesn't work on his game. And that's why he was able to take over the number one spot and be a number one goalie last year, because he works to make himself better. He finds out, well, why am I not be able to do this part of the game as well as I'd like to? And then he finds out why, and then he finds out ways to make it better, especially in the off season. And, you know, he hadn't had a shootout the whole year. So here you are on November 9th. You haven't seen a shootout. You've done it in practice, but that's not a game. So, you know, all Buffalo needed was one goal. I scratched my head a little bit why Jack Quinn wasn't in the shootout. He by far is their best shootout player. I mean, he's just, like, really good at it. It doesn't matter. They won. But, you know, I just wonder in my head why Thompson winds up hitting the post and Paterka does score through the legs. And, you know, Alex Tuch misses. So, they were able to win by just scoring the one goal because Lukanen was lights out in the shootout and looked like he was in total control. It didn't even look like, oh, wow, he just made a great save or whatever. It looked like he was with the guy, made the guy make the first move, and pretty much made the save easily in all three times. And before I leave here, I did do math wrong. See, I did it fast. And I shouldn't have. The Sabres are 7 of their last 23 on the power play,
it's
which is 30.4%. So I wanted to make that correction. 7 of 23, and I have checked that three times. So I should have waited until I was finished with my math. But anyway, it's 7 of 23 for 30.4 in that stretch you were talking about.
Wow, amazing. We'll make that our Dynabrade.com power play update, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. Thank you, Paul, for doing that update. And that is good news overall, for sure, for them that really, really struggled to start the season. Paul Zach Benson gets the first goal, and him and that line came out really, really strong. We talked about it after the Ranger game. A healthy Zach Benson really makes that line feel a lot different.
And for the second game in a row, he was the number one star tonight, I believe, wasn't it? I think I
yes,
heard that.
Correct.
So for the second game in a row, he's the number one star of the game. And, you know, they got that forecheck going right off the bat early in the hockey game. And it was all three of them again on the forecheck, Quinn, Cousins, and Benson. and a minute 11 into the game, you got a 1-0 lead, you know, just because how tenacious you were through the whole thing. And not only was it the forecheck, you got Power over on the left point, who has to make a very quick and nice play to be able to get the puck across to Bryson, and Bryson wasted no time. You know, because as we saw throughout the game, the Flames took a lot of shooting lanes away and blocked shots. But because Bryson let it go so quickly, they couldn't take that shooting lane away. And, you know, it produced a rebound for Benson to score.
Paul, let's just finish on what's ahead now. A possible four-game win streak. I know you've been counting it. I know the question was asked in the postgame. It's been almost 20 months here, or over 20 months since they've done it. And Montreal coming into this today, they're sitting in last in the East. So regardless of whether they win or lose later, but they're on paper struggling. So here's your chance. You're at home. You're playing well, that they can kind of get over the hump on that and then try to push for five after that.
Yeah, when I look back, it was January where they went of 2023, where they went five in a row. It wasn't four. You know, it was a five-game winning streak, and that was the last one I found. You know, other than the three games that they had last year. So it's been a while. The opportunity will be there for them. I would think they'll probably practice tomorrow. They didn't practice yesterday. And, of course, you don't get a morning skate today other than the guys who didn't play are here at 8 in the morning to do it. But you didn't get the more. So I would imagine there'll be some type of a practice tomorrow just to get them on the ice, work on some things they want to work on, and then get ready for another afternoon game against the Montreal Canadiens where they get that opportunity to finally get that four-game winning streak.
That's right. Paul, thanks so much. Great work today as always, and I hope you enjoy the Bills game tomorrow. We'll see you here for pregame at noon on Monday for the Montreal game.
I will be there.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton with us here down in the media room. Again, our Steve Foley Law pregame, with it being a 12:30 start on our flagship station on WGR. We're going to have the Steve Foley Law pregame at 12 that day. So the full extra point show, get a chance to react to the Bills and the Colts, which, of course, will be tomorrow on WGR and many of the same stations here along the Sabres radio network with the Bills and the Colts. Bills dealing with injuries. They are going to be without Keon Coleman. Who knows about Amari Cooper? So they could be in trouble at receiver. The Sabres.
I'll have some news for you on that in a second, Brian. Yeah,
Sabres looking good on their injury side. Right now, no injuries to report. So knock on wood for the Sabres. They are looking good there.
You asked me the question about any changes with the healthy scratches. Did Lindy Ruff give you a little peek into what he was thinking maybe when the question about Bo Byram playing as many minutes as he did today?
Yeah.
Saying that a couple of defensemen were struggling, so that's why Byram got extra minutes. Now, I'm reading into it a little bit, but when the teams take the ice on Monday, it might give you a little clearer picture, if there are any changes, what Lindy Ruff maybe saw within this game, even though it was a win, to potentially make a change.
Yeah, Byram, 32-34 in ice time. And Gilbert, I said, you know, to you earlier, mentioned the three penalties. So who knows if that'll factor into the decision. I'm sure it will. However, if he doesn't make any changes at all, I would also say totally understandable as well. This team's not losing. So why touch it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Don't make a change until the winning streak is over. So it'd be interesting when they do take the ice on Monday for warm-ups, just kind of how everything shakes out.
Yeah. So no injuries for the Sabres. Pat's going to have some Bills injury news here in a moment. But our injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health's St. Joseph's Campus. Go with Joe's. All right. Let's get the scoreboard here. And we talked quite a bit about Winnipeg in the pregame here today, and they have a big matchup with Dallas. And the Jets are rolling, Pat, here as we look at the scores.
Yeah, they are, Brian, and it's brought to you by Figo Car and Joy Shore Border Attorneys. That's the only other game ongoing right now in the league. They're through 40 minutes in Winnipeg. The Jets have a 4-0 lead over Dallas. And how about this stat? With Winnipeg coming off of back-to-back shutouts and leading 4-0 right now, they have scored 11 straight goals against their opponents. That's 11 unanswered. The third time in the last 9 months, third time in the last calendar year, they did it twice in March, once in March, once in April of last season, and now once now here in this season. That's 10 or more goals unanswered at any given stretch throughout the course of a season. Coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, the East leading Panthers host the Flyers, while long list of games at 7 include the Bruins welcoming in the Senators. That's the team Buffalo is tied with in the wild card standings at the moment. Montreal will be here on Monday, but not before they take on the Maple Leafs tonight up in Toronto. Red Wings welcome in the Rangers while the Blues entertain the Capitals. 7:30 faceoff for the Devils and the Islanders in New York while Nashville hosts the Utah Hockey Club. The Hurricanes and Avalanche have a 9 o'clock faceoff scheduled for Denver, while the Kings welcome in the Blue Jackets at 9. And the last game of the night, we'll see Quinn Hughes and the Canucks welcoming in Leon Draisaitl and the Oilers. Also in the AHL, in just over an hour from now, the Rochester Americans are in Wilkes-Barre-Scranton to meet the Penguins. Mentioned that there is Bills news as they have made a host of roster moves today, placing linebacker Baylen Spector on the injured reserve list. And they have elevated a pair of wide receivers from the practice squad, Tyrell Shavers and KJ Hamler. So, could tell you a little bit about the Bills' wide receiver injury situation and what things may look like heading into their matchup against the Colts tomorrow for that 1 o'clock kickoff. Again, to be heard right here on WGR. And also, let's take a quick look at the hardwood just up the road here on Main Street in downtown Buffalo, where Little 3 matchup of St. Bonaventure and Canisius taking place at the Kessler Athletic Center. St. Bonaventure with a 3-point lead, 38-35, 15 seconds to go in the opening half. A fun matchup for both teams and for Canisius to open their home schedule against St. Bonaventure this afternoon in front of a packed crowd in downtown.
That's good stuff. I was telling you in pregame, I watched Carolina and Kansas last night. I'm ready for college hoops. Is the NCAA tournament back here this year? I know
next
it's not
year.
Next year. I wish it was here this year.
I'm with you.
I'm ready to go for it here, too. Yeah, Canisius, Bonaventure, good battle there. Yeah, Sabres getting it done here tonight. Again, Pat, I think the big story here is the special teams check mark trending in the right direction, Lukanen playing now his best hockey of the season, and as a team on a night where you don't have it for 65 minutes, it ends up being your best stuff. They still found a way to not only get a point, we always said, can you get it to overtime? Can you get the loser point? Well, not only did they get the loser point, they got the winning point because they got two here.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You've got an early game on Monday. Now, this was a day game today, so yeah. You're basically, we're 48 hours from puck drop, a little less than that with the start of today. Do you go right back to Lukanen again?
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
I don't think it's a question to me, but
especially because also, too, you have two full days of rest then after the game. So, yeah, it's two full days. Even if he plays great and you want to play him against St. Louis next Thursday, you've got 2.5 days, actually, because that's, you know, you got a 12:30 game followed by a 7:30 game on a Thursday.
You're not traveling. Stay at home. You can recharge the batteries that way.
And Lukanen is even, you know, admitted that when he plays more, he thinks he plays better. And there's spots for Levi upcoming. Even if you want to play Lukanen in all three games next week, which is spaced out Monday, Thursday, and Saturday, it's just a short trip to Philly for that road game. Then you go to the West Coast where you have a back-to-back setup with Anaheim and San Jose, and then the following week you have a back-to-back setup home and road with travel with Vancouver and the Islanders. So there's going to be at least two Devin Levi games in there, likely, if you want to push Lukanen in here.
I think you do have to ask the question, though, if you go that long, when you have a goalie that's sat for this long now,
yeah,
you know, is
maybe
that
Flyers
issue?
Game,
right?
Or maybe it's the St. Louis game. You're right.
I think maybe one of those two, Thursday or Saturday. At least for me, it feels like Devin Levi should play one of those. That way, he's not off at least scheduled to play in such a long span.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, if Lukanen plays well again on Monday, you got 2.5 days before you're home again for St. Louis. I'd say let's try to go 5 in a row and get him there. And then maybe that's the Levi spot is the Philadelphia game, playing a team that isn't loaded with all-stars and scoring talent. Not to say that, you know, you couldn't play him if that team was a different opponent, but maybe that just sets up to think, hey, we can still get through there with a win playing a little lesser of a quality opponent. But nevertheless, 3 in a row for the Sabres. They go for 4 in a row Monday, 12:30. Again, the Steve Foley Law pregame coming up at 12:30 on WGR on Monday. And with that, we're going to say goodbye to everybody here at KeyBank Center. Want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer back in our Amherst studios. Thank you very much, TJ. The crew here at KeyBank Center, Tom Maddy, our engineer, Jonathan Koziel, Pat Mollicaro, Paul Hamilton. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Koziel. Thank you for listening. Sabres win it in a shootout, 3-2 over the Flames. Enjoy the Bills game tomorrow, and we will talk to you on Monday at noon with the Sabres and the Montreal Canadiens right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.